You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
Oh, welcome to Weird Wednesday. We are going live in the afternoon. Instead of a Weird Wednesday wake up, we're doing a Weird Wednesday wake up after your big time lunch that you just had. Friends, we went live this morning and it was terror. Terror. I've had less terror in the woods. I've had less terror in the woods, my friends. This technology stuff was going berserk this morning. I couldn't figure out half the stuff I needed to do. And as we ended the show, I was like, this sucked. And I was gonna just let it up, and then when I started looking at it, I was like, "This is not. And I just took it off. I took it off all the streaming platforms. Everything was just taken down. And I did an interview. I had an interview scheduled, so I did an interview, and I decided after the interview, we're gonna try this again. So today's Weird Wednesday wake up. We're doing round two, and we're going to give it another shot here. So. Instead of a morning time show for you today, we got maybe a lunchtime show, a midday show, but it's still hump day, Weird Wednesday. And I'm glad those of you who are tuning back in with me are here with me on Wednesday. Listen, I talked about it earlier last week. We are doing studio renovations, and I was planning on being in the new Studio B today, but then that's not finished. And so we're here again today, but I'm thinking we might be sitting here for a while because the more I do the show here, the more I kind of like sitting here. So to be determined, but we are doing some renos in here, and we're going to be building another studio in another room. So it's going to be a brand new studio. So we'll have three different locations that we can record in, trying to give variety to people and let people kind of just have an experience with us. And so sometimes the table talk idea isn't the most comfortable. So we're going to try to create a studio that's more easy on the eyes, more comfortable, and allows you to feel like you're sitting there on a nice comfy couch with us. Unless you're in a construction zone, sitting on a high rise building you're building and listening to the show, it won't be very comfortable for you, but maybe still easy on the eyes. But nevertheless, we are doing studio renos. Now, friends, this episode brought to you by Merc Merch. Go ahead and get your Merc Merch right now. We have the Mothman, which is what I'm wearing today. I've been trying to sport that in recent videos because I like it a lot. There's a lot of color involved in it. It looks better. And, you know, my traditional default is to go ahead and just do black t-shirts with white lettering and stuff because that's just kind of, I'm very boring and I don't have much style. And, well, when we got this one in, I was like, that actually looks nice. And my wife was like, yeah, see what happens when you actually try to spice things up a bit. So we're going to start making it more colorful around the Merc merch store. But go ahead and check out what we have. We're looking at some new designs here. And hopefully in the fall, we'll come out with a new design, maybe even sooner, but maybe September. I don't know. But definitely, hopefully in October, November area, we're going to come out with a new design. And, you know, let me know in the chat. Give me your opinion. We have people asking for crop tops, all that. I'm not making crop tops, okay? At least not right now. Like, everything I make costs me up front. So I'm not going to make crop tops for the five girls that asked for it. But if you are looking for maybe hoodies or long sleeve shirts, let us know what you want out of the merch store. Not to say we're going to do it all right away, but we'd like to know what your thoughts are and what you're looking for to get out of when it comes to your merch through Merkle Media. Friends, we did the Armed Media Conference last week, and that was a blast. It was one of those things where I personally gained a lot out of it, and it was just a great time. And, you know, with the Armed Media Conference now behind us, we have another conference that I've been scheduled to go out on, and that is the Phenomicon in Vernal, Utah. It's going to be on September 4th through the 7th. We are going to be out there, Jack and myself. I'll be there for 4 days, and I'll be speaking. They gave me a 90-minute time slot, so I'm going to have a lot of time to get really, really weird, and I plan on it. In fact, I was driving home last week from the office and thinking about it. I was thinking, like, what am I going to talk about? You know, like they want me to get weird on it. They have a lot of people going, you know, heading over there. George Knapp, earlier in the show that will never be talked about again, I said George Norrie. I meant George Knapp. I knew it sounded off, but we have a lot of people going out there that are very scientific minded, you know, and some woo woo, but a lot of like heady type people. And I was kind of surprised they wanted me, but they definitely want me. I told them what kind of thing I do, just so they were fully aware. And they said, we want you. And so we are going out to Vernal, Utah to get super weird on it. And as I was thinking about it, I started thinking about, you know, what do I want to talk about? Let me see if I can find my notes here. I doubt I'll be able to find it that quickly, of course. So I probably just let it go before we have a repeat of the first round. But I had this like download of just like the episodes and how it all ties together. And so I'll probably be launching into probably about 5 or 6 episodes that we've had, tying the pieces together and showing the world that Dog Man is interdimensional. Amongst other things, we might even tie in cloaked shadow entities and all that stuff. You know, people following Tony. We're going to go all over the place, but it's all going to tie together into the very real phenomenon of the other realms, supernatural realms, piercing through the veil, coming through to this side, and then going back and forth, forth and back. You know, I have, I had a chance to talk with several people this past week at Armed Media Conference, and some of the people they're very well respected in content creation. And one of the guys had said that, you know, a lot of times we're already living our content. Why would we not want to convey that to the world, essentially? And it got me thinking about some things that I don't talk about to you guys a whole lot. I do tend to be more on the private side of personal life, especially since I'd say sometime earlier this year, things started really heating up, some just not so good things happening from my interaction with people who know who I am. And so maybe clam up and kind of cut things off, rightfully so. I took some precautions that I won't undo anytime soon. But it got me thinking about some things that are going on in my life and things that have happened that I think the audience, one, would quite honestly just enjoy hearing, because let's just be real, we tune in to hear people's stories, and your host has stories that he's never told you or hasn't tied it together for you in a way that is maybe all in one spot, you know? you hear pieces here and there, but have I ever really sat down to talk to you about it? And I'm strongly considering doing that. And it may be a weird, it may not be a Weird Wednesday. I'm kind of going back and forth on it because I try to keep Weird Wednesday more light and just kind of fun. And what I have to share, it depends on how it comes out. You know, it may not be very light and fun, but it's very real. And I think the audience deserves to know at a certain point too. Not like it's my business should be your business, but I think you deserve to know in the sense that when I talk about the supernatural realm and things peering through and things like that, I think sometimes people don't totally grasp what I'm referring to, or they I don't know. I just feel like maybe if I brought in my own personal experiences and shared with you, and hopefully you guys trust me and all that, but if I share with you what I've gone through, maybe it will impact you on a different, deeper level than hearing somebody else's story that's on my show. So I'm still trying to brainstorm as to what that will look like and what I'll do and where I'll do it. I'm also considering starting a whole other channel where it's just me and not really paranormal guest related, but more me giving talks and discussing things that are not topical for the confessionals. And maybe I'll drop it there because, well, a lot of things are happening, friends. And so as things unfold, I will share with you. But until then, just know that I am here. And we are going to do our best with today's show, which is the Not Deer. All right. So we hear about different cryptids. I just talked to a guy today who gave me a part two to a recording that you haven't heard the part one yet. You'll hear it in 2 weeks. So not next week, but the week after. You'll hear about it. And the first part, so the first part of the recording is going to be a Tuesday show. And then we did a members exclusive for the Thursday show. For the Tuesday show, it is focusing on this man's encounter with a thing called the Nalusa. I'd never heard of the Nalusa. And when he brought it up to me, I looked it up and I was really shocked by it. And I'm not going to jump into great details as to what the Nalusa is right now. You'll hear about it in a couple weeks if you don't know. But many people don't know what the Nalusa is. And apparently it's a very real thing that has been going on for quite some time. And people are encountering this thing, going back to ancient times. You don't hear about it a lot. I had never heard of it. And in the same vein, I had never really heard of, I'd never heard of the Not Deer until I started my show and we started having this Not Deer phrase come up. And in all honesty, when I first heard it, I thought people were just saying it's not a deer, you know, not that the Not Deer is an actual thing. It's an actual thing. I thought it was just, it's not a deer. It's something else, right? But by saying not deer, it's literally an entity of itself, okay? So I want to kind of get that out of the way. I also want to, before we go down the not deer route, I'm just going to put this out one more time. There was no traction on the first hour. Maybe there won't be traction on it, and it's fine if there's not. Jack will keep an eye as to if anybody pops in. There is a link in the description on YouTube, on Rumble, not on Facebook. I didn't put it on Facebook this go around. But if you want to join me live on the show and have conversations with me about the Mount Rushmore of cryptids. Now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about when it comes to the Mount Rushmore of cryptids, if you're in the United States, you're probably aware of Mount Rushmore that has very historic figures chiseled into a mountain, their faces chiseled into a mountain. And often people will say, what's your Mount Rushmore of, you know, legendary things of? And so what are your top five legendary cryptids? We're going to call it the Mount Rushmore of cryptids. If you call in, you got to give me a cryptid that you think belongs in the top five on the Mount Rushmore of cryptids, and you're picking for the audience. Nobody can undo your pick, and you can't redo it yourself. So once you call in, you tell me your Mount Rushmore pick for what is the most legendary cryptid in your mind. I have my thoughts and opinions on what my Mount Rushmore is, but it's the audience's as well. And maybe what I'll do is I will give you my own Mount Rushmore as we go along. And so you pick first and then I'll pick one and I can't repeat what you pick. So it will make it harder for me than you as the audience. It'll be Tony versus the audience. So if you're interested in that, hit the link, join me throughout the conversation today. But let's get into the not deer. So I had come across an article that kind of spawned my thinking with this. And I'm not going to read the whole article, but I will read some of these parts here talking about the not deer circulating around a man named Clark. We're going to call the man Clark. It says, Clark describes two encounters with strange deer he collected when he was editor of Fate magazine around 1971. So these are a long time ago, but don't worry. We have up-to-date current stories of the not deer for you coming up here. First, he discovered an account from Miss Loeb, L-A-U-B, I'm assuming it's Loeb, from Oklahoma, who saw a creature in her farm field, in her farm field that superficially resembled a deer that stood on four thin deer legs with a huge pad for feet. So this thing is standing on its hind leg, on its legs. They're very thin, but large padded feet. It obviously, those are no characteristics of a deer. Could you say that maybe it had a physical ailment? Possibly, but we're going to go with this idea that this is something out of order and it's not quite a deer. It's a not deer. So it had long hair, pointed ears, and a brushy tail that resembled a cross between a wolf and a deer. This supposedly occurred in 1951. So as I read that second half, hopefully it cements it in your mind that this was not a deer, because what I just described to you absolutely does not exist in Oklahoma. At least it's not supposed to. So later in 1971, before Miss Loeb's account appeared in the magazine, Clark's father told him of a weird animal he had encountered along a road in Canby, Minnesota, that looked like a small deer, but with a horse-like tail. He shot at the animal to scare it, but astoundingly, it didn't react. And that is a common thing that people have experiences with when it comes to the not deer, things that are out of the ordinary. So this man, he sees, or his father sees, this small deer-like creature that has a horse-like tail. So the horse-like tail is a dead giveaway that this is not a normal deer. It's a not deer. And I think that there probably are other details that from that encounter that we don't have information on, because I do wonder what would spawn you to see a deer that has a funky tail and decide that you should shoot at it. But maybe he was just shooting at it to try scaring it away. Either way, he shot at it and didn't react. And that's a common thing that people have experiences with when it comes to the not deer, is that it doesn't seem to be fazed by your presence. And if anything, it will actually maybe give chase to you. It will stalk you. It will harass you. So this is not something that is timid like a deer would be. The only other time I've come across deer that didn't act like deer personally for myself is when I still lived in Pennsylvania. I went to college in the Philadelphia area in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. And not far from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania is Valley Forge. You know, it's a historic location. It's a whole historical park. They got the old cabins sitting there, all that. But what's unique about Valley Forge, there's no hunting and it's a wooded area. And there's a lot of deer because of that. So the deer throughout generations, they know you're not going to hunt them. They have zero fear of humans. And you can literally walk up within feet of the deer. So that's the only time that I personally had interactions with deer where they didn't look at you sideways and you move a few feet towards them and they run away. You know, every time I have like a herd. Is it the right terminology? A herd of deer. I have a herd of deer that go through the back of my property, and I've counted up to 15, 16 deer all at one time. If you go out there, they don't want anything to do with you. They run away. There was a small deer out in my yard, like a baby deer at one point by itself. And I sent my daughter out there and she fared a little better, but it wasn't going to let her get too close. These not deer are things that aren't timid. They're not scared of you. They won't flinch. And if anything, they might come towards you. So I started looking around on my own website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Go ahead and check it out if you haven't done so yet, because we revamped it earlier this year. We went through a little bit of a rebranding process. We came out with the six-fingered logo, which is very accurate depiction of just the roots of this show and how it's formed over the years. But I also had the website rebuilt. So I didn't build a website this time around, because what we used to have was a website that I built and it looked like it. I don't think it was bad, but it wasn't what it is now. So if you haven't gone to theconfessionalspodcast.com recently, go ahead and check it out, because everything you see there, we had a designer do. Actually, the person who did it is Scott Walker from Freaky Deaky Podcast. So you can go ahead and give him a shout. And if you have website needs or graphic needs, because he's the one that worked with me on my new logo, he is your guy. So if you're looking for a website designer and you like what you see on my website, check out Scott. Go ahead and reach out to him. Freaky Deaky Podcast, Scott Walker. He'll take care of you because he does a lot of independent contract work, but he also does this for a living. This is what he does for a living. He works for a company and he does all this stuff. So he's a real professional. So there's my plug of the day. I like supporting people and hopefully you guys get that by now. So when I was looking at the website, which Scott fixed the search bar for the longest time, when you put something in the search bar, sometimes it didn't work. Now it works. So it's really nice to be able to just look up things by word or the episode number, things like that. There's several things that pop up on the website when you search the word deer. And the very first thing is the not deer. My wife, sometimes she'll do a creature feature Friday. And she did one focusing on the not deer. And you can read that article if you'd like and go into that. It's she does really good work on that. But then we have two written confessions. And one is from this one person who their great-great uncle was Thomas Lipton Schooner, I think is how you pronounce it, who was a captain. And they recall, I guess this story was passed down throughout the family history. And you can read that if you'd like, but I'll tell you what generally it's talking about. This person recalls, and by the way, these are most of the written confessions are people who emailed the show, but it's such a small story or they really didn't have firsthand experience. It was passed on to them, like this person. We'll make it on the website for a written confession so people can still hear your story. So this person goes and shares with us that their great-great uncle, who was a captain, was in the tea trade a long time ago, and he went out on his own and started thinking that he had a deer following him until he realized what he saw before his face was an upright standing deer that should be impossible. And not only is it an upright standing deer, a bipedal deer, but it disappeared. And so the not deer can be something that is physical, it is tangible, it's something that people are experiencing, but it also has supernatural capabilities and aspects to it, like disappearing. Now, we're going to get into a story a little bit later here in a few minutes that I think depicts that perfectly. But before we do that, I want to kind of get into the next written confession here for you, is because I think this is a really cool story. So I'm just gonna start reading it here, and bear with me because it's a bit of a long one, and I try not to read too much of the long ones, but I just think it's a good story. We had a house. This is a written confession again on theconfessionalspodcast.com. It's titled "The Broken Necked Deer Man." We had a house fire and had to move in with my grandmother for a time while the insurance was sorted and our new house was built. Luckily, the land my grandmother owns had an old farmhouse near her own home that she mostly used for storage. It had water and electricity, so we were good to go. The first few nights in the house were very scary for me. Every little pop or flash of light made me think of a fire. I slept between my parents each night. It was rough, but after about 3 or 4 nights, I was no longer scared while I was in the house. I even started going upstairs in the evening and reading in the loft while listening to the radio or podcast. You know, one might say it'd be podcast today. I decided that I was able to sleep alone in the house and spend a few nights on the old couch in the living room. After that, I ended up in the loft using a sleeping bag borrowed from one of my own cousins. Anyway, the loft had a massive window facing the front yard, driveway, and the main road. I was just settling in for the night with my little lantern and my book when something passed by the window. I shrugged it off as the reflection of a car going by and started reading my book. It happened again, and this time I got up and went to the window. This is where it gets weird. Standing in the middle of the yard was a deer. It stood on its hind legs, and its neck was bent at an odd angle, like it was broken. It walked with a strange grace, especially for something that appeared to be so out of place. Across the road, it disappeared into the woods. At no point during seeing the creature was I afraid. I was actually very calm somehow, and even went into my sleeping bag and went back to my reading, not even thinking about what I had just seen. This is really out of character for me, to say the least. I'd say the least. I mean, they were scared just a few nights ago to even be in the house. I'm the type of person that gets worked up over seeing a bug in the house. The next morning, I told my mother what I saw, and she seemed totally unaffected. She just told me not to tell anyone and sent me off to school. And then the story kind of winds down from there. So when you tell your mom what you saw and mom doesn't seem affected, it still lacks context. So what I mean by that is, if my kids came to me and said they saw an upright standing deer in the backyard the night before, I wouldn't just brush it off and say, don't tell anybody. But I'll admit that I am different. I'm a different parent. I host a paranormal podcast. I have encounters with people on the show on a weekly basis. I have my own personal experiences. I'm very aware that the supernatural realm does exist. And so maybe if you're a parent that is not already thinking like that, maybe you would think, okay, my kid just had a bad dream, don't tell anybody. But also, I am curious. I think up here it said we went to my grandmother. Yeah, it said we moved in with my grandmother for a time. It doesn't say which grandmother. And I am curious, was this grandmother mom's mom? Because if it's mom's mom and grandmother here had a farmhouse and another house on the property, it tells me that this was probably a family property that's been around a long time. Could mom already know what that child saw, and that's why they brushed it off? I think it's a real possibility that maybe this is a recurring thing on the property, just like in so many other cases. And what comes to mind is episode 335 with Kyle. We had him on, and he talked about his dogman encounter, dog versus dogman, legendary story on the confessionals. You can listen to it some other time. But one of the things that Kyle shared is that his grandfather, upon surviving the dogman attack in the woods, he runs out of the woods to his grandfather in the truck, gets in the truck, says, go, 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 starts telling his grandfather as they're getting out of the woods what happened. And his grandfather looked at him and said, you need to understand something. If you're going to hunt these woods the rest of your life, you got to come to grips with the fact that there are things out here you're not going to understand. And if you can't get past that, you're not going to be able to hunt these woods. And so his grandfather clearly knew something was going on. His grandfather also would move him away from the window while he's sleeping at night into the middle of the floor in the room. And when he would ask his grandfather, why'd you do that? His grandfather said, so the slew foot doesn't get you. And so Kyle talked about how for the longest time, he thought the slew foot was a bear because of an old bluegrass song that talked about a bear that would run 90 miles an hour or maybe jump 90 feet, run 40 miles an hour, something like that. It was like a supernatural bear. And he started connecting the dots. And then he found the original lyrics that talked about an upright running dog. So the lyrics were changed to from a bear or from an upright walking dog to a bear. And so it made sense in his head. His grandfather was protecting him from the dog man as a kid that he later saw in the woods. So when we have family lineage that lives in these areas for an extended period of time, a lot of times our grandparents, our parents know things that we don't know or we're just coming to understand. And it's just a matter of fact. It's a way of life for them. It is what it is, you know? And so this might be a similar situation where mom was saying to herself, yeah, I already know this because when I was a little girl and I lived here, the same thing happened. And I also know what the kids at school said to me when I brought it up. So let me just tell you, don't talk about it and you'll be fine. So I think there's a real possibility that something like that could be happening in this story. Either way, terrifying experience. People having encounters with upright walking deer that act supernaturally, whether they disappear, it has a broken neck, like let alone walking on its hind legs, unless there's some kind of physical abnormality where, you know, maybe the front legs are broken, they have to walk on the hind legs. Sometimes you see unusual cases where in New Jersey, there was a bear. I forget what the name was, but it was like, it was a wild bear. It was a black bear, but it walked on its hind legs and it would go through neighborhoods and people knew that this bear, let's just call him Yogi, would walk around the neighborhood and everybody was familiar with it. And it was almost like a neighborhood pet. Nobody wanted to hurt it. Nobody wanted, it had some kind of problem with its front paws and it would walk on its hind legs. Later on, somebody did shoot it. I don't know if it was a hunter or what, but somebody wound up shooting and killing it. But there are situations where that could happen. Now, we've had episodes on the confessionals that are of the not deer origins, I would say. And what I want to do is pull up a couple of these stories for you so that you can kind of maybe hear a little bit about what I'm talking about. So the very first episode that I can remember, and I did a search here, like I said, on the website for deer. These episodes popped up. I tried racking my brain about anything else that could have popped up that or should have popped up, but didn't. Shout out to Deborah for becoming a channel member. I see you. Thank you very much. But episode 136, I believe, is the probably the first time we had a not deer situation pop up on the show. And I didn't know about not deer at the time. I don't think I ever heard of not deer when I recorded this episode. So it's a story about a guy, and I don't remember all the details. It was a longer story. You can go back and listen to it. Episode 136, the title is Trespassers Will Be Shot, Last Chance. Long story short, there was a guy who went out to a quarry partying with friends, decided to go back with friends again, and I think they got turned around. They wound up going up a road that he had never gone up before, and there was, a sign that said, no trespassing. And then as you go further down the road, it says, last chance, trespassers will be shot. They come across a house, and in this house is just out there by itself. And when they inspect the house has furniture that is upside down. And if that wasn't strange enough for you, the furniture that was upside down was on the roof, on the ceiling. So not on the roof on the outside, but on the inside of the house, as if somebody tacked it to the ceiling, all the furniture upside down. Listen, that has a lot of parallels and things you can pull at, the threads you can pull at with that. Because of what we're going to talk about next, I do believe there is a strong chance that they slipped into a geographical location that has a thin veil, if not veil that's almost non-existent, and they found themselves on the Portal Bridge. Maybe one of these days I just got to write a book about the Portal Bridge. I am considering, in fact, I'm 90% sure I'm actually going to start writing books. So I always said I wasn't going to, but some things have changed and I think we're going to start going down that route. I feel like I have things to say and we're going to say it in a book. So, it has a strong reach because I know some people don't listen to podcasts, but they read books. But nevertheless, I think that the Portal Bridge is something to explore more in deeper detail, but just know that looking back at this story, I think there is I'm not saying this is the case, especially this guy, if I remember correctly, even at episode 136, wasn't even close to the woo-woo that I was back then. And I'm way more severe now. So take that for what it is. But looking back at the story, I do believe that there is a possibility that there was an accidental slip onto a portal bridge. And I believe this happened in Oregon, if I remember correctly. Now, upon leaving this, I just remembered part of the story. When they left, and I think they left in a hurry because there was a vehicle that the headlights turned on and started chasing them. They were being chased by another vehicle down a road that said no trespassing. And if I remember correctly, there was gunfire towards them as well. Now, these are younger people. I believe they were in high school or young adults. If that's not scary enough, you find a house with furniture upside down, stapled to the ceiling. There's signs saying, don't come down here, you'll get shot. You're being chased by a vehicle, probably shooting at you. When you look out the side of your window and there's two upright running deer next to your car, now you're in La La Land. Now you're in Bizarro World. You found some kind of weird house out of the Wizard of Oz. You're being chased by some serial killer. And the serial killer doesn't have dogs that it sticks on you. No, it has two not deer running after you. I didn't describe these as not deer in the episode. I'm almost certain of it. I was just like, well, that's really bizarre. You know, that's interesting. You know, I remember this episode sticks out in my head because it was one of those episodes that really started stretching my brain, you know, like whatever little bit of a brain I have at this point in life, it was being stretched a lot in that experience because, you know, it's Oregon. I'm prepared to talk about Bigfoot. I'm prepared to talk about weird things, but upright running deer chasing your car and keeping pace on two legs, that doesn't make sense to me, but it's the not deer. These are supernatural creatures. These are supernatural beings that are in existence. People are experiencing these not deer, and we're talking about it today. There's people that talk about the not deer, and including myself, and I think that they could easily overlook the connection to other cryptids like Wendigo or Skinwalkers. Skinwalkers, you hear different depictions and different descriptions and definitions as to what a skinwalker is. It really seems to depend on who you're talking to. Is it somebody who's a scientific person that's admitting that the skinwalkers exist? Is it a native person that's been doing it, that's known about it through their bloodline for hundreds of years? You get a wide range definition when it comes to skinwalker. But when it comes to the not deer, we shouldn't be too quick to overlook the fact that the not deer could have ties to supernatural beings that we already talk about, like Wendigo and Skinwalkers. Episode 329, we're not going to get into the storyline of that today, but episode 329, I called it Wendigo Sighting, and I suspect it's probably another situation where what was seen might have been a not deer, and I just wasn't thinking not deer. There's plenty of times that on the show, somebody's saying something to me, and either what I think later comes to me later, or in the moment, if I don't write it down, I forget because they're already thinking something different. And if I don't write it down, I forget to even bring it up. But I strongly believe that 329 probably has a lot of similar characteristics to the not deer, paralleled with Wendigo and probably even Skinwalker. So episode 329, Wendigo Sighting, you'll see it. The show art was done by Garrett Hoover, and he made a great design of an upright running deer with antlers alongside of the road. Fantastic artist, and I'm sure you'll enjoy the story too. Now, episode 442, shout out to Zach for being a member. And I think, instead of looking at the monitor, let me just pull it up here. Zach says, I think I'd just give up if a deer starts chasing me on two legs. Whatever happens, happens. Zach, I like your thought process. And I don't know, man. I think we're all running to the last breath, right? I mean, you had Kyle from 335 running from a dog man. So, you know, what's more scary? What's more scary, a dog man or a not deer? Well, the last story I had to share with you, if you're saying a dog man is more scary, the last story I had to share with you might actually change your mind on that. But before we get to that last story, episode 442, called it the Bigfoot Summoner. Again, are you noticing a pattern here? Sometimes when I have people on the show, I think about things later that I didn't think about during the recording. If I would have thought about this during the recording, I might have at least brought it up. But long story short, we had a guy on the show. His name was Terrence, and he's a TikToker. And he's a Native American, I believe in Canada, and he does throat singing. And I'd never heard of throat singing before. I came across his video, like the rest of the world, because his video went viral. He goes out in the woods live on TikTok and does throat singing. And often he brings in wildlife. I mean, I can imagine wildlife is like, what the heck is that? But it seems like he calls in deer when this happens. And so he goes live and he starts throat singing and the deer, he has a deer in the background looking. We can say, is that a not deer or a deer? On video, it looks just like a deer. It looks like a doe on four legs staring at him because he's doing some funky stuff they never saw before or heard before. But in the background, you do see something walking seemingly on its hind legs, a black, dark shadow figure behind some bushes. And you do see it. You see it walk, I believe, from right to left screen. And then it comes in through these high weeds and peers in. But in front of it is something else that peers out that seems like it has a white head and standing on 2 feet. What is that? Could it have been a not deer? Jury's still out, but let's just say maybe. Because we had deer in the picture, we had Bigfoot in the picture, why not a not deer? Why not? So the last story I want to share with you here from my show on the not deer is episode 476. Episode 476 was a show that it took me a couple days to actually stop just thinking about it all the time. It was one of those shows where I'm sitting there and I believe this guy in what he's telling me, but it was so hard to wrap my mind around because it was just wild. It was just wild. Episode 476, we have Chris. And Chris is a soldier stationed, or at least was stationed at Quantico. I think Quantico is in Virginia, if I remember correctly. So that gives you a little bit of a landmark as to where this took place in Virginia. He is in charge of patrolling a certain area of the base at night. I don't know the logistics behind that. I don't know what his job specifically is. I just know that he would set game trail cameras out there. And if I remember correctly, which I always do, he volunteered for that side of the base because nobody wanted it. And he did because there's lots of woods, a lot of nothing. So it's boring. But as a hunter who's allowed to hunt on the property, he wanted to set up game trail cams for hunting purposes. So one night he goes out to the property edge on the, I think it was on the west side where he's supposed to be patrolling, and he starts retrieving the SD cards from his game trail cameras to, you know, check out the footage. And he takes his SD cards and he has his laptop with him, and he comes up to a tree stand that he has put in there, and he climbs up the tree stand. And so he's sitting in the tree stand. It's middle of the night. It's dark out, it's nighttime, it's quiet, nobody's supposed to be out there. It's just him in the woods on his laptop looking at pictures of wildlife that he picked up on his game trail cams. So as he pulls his laptop out of his bag, sets it on his lap, gets his SD card out and starts plugging it in, he hears rustling in the bushes down below. In my mind's eye, it's off to his left. For whatever reason, in my head, when I remember this story, it went from left to right. So for the sake of me telling the story, down below, off to his left, he hears rustling in the bushes. And so he goes ahead and looks down below and he sees a deer come walking out of the bushes. So he's sitting there and he's looking at the deer and he wants to, you know, just observe it and make sure that it's, you know, maybe something he can hunt later. And it walks across by the tree right below him and it stops. And when it stops, it stands up on its hind legs. And this is the first time, there's three times Three times, not two, three. There's three times that something supernatural happened during this exchange. The very first time it comes out and it stands up on its hind legs. Right there, good night, go home, scared to death. Like, what is going on? That shouldn't happen, but it did. He's sitting there in his tree stand, holding his breath, being completely silent, trying not to breathe because he doesn't want this thing seeing him, hearing him, because he doesn't know what's going on. And maybe he wants to observe it longer. The thing stands up on its hind legs and continues to walk on its hind legs over to a tree. When it walks over to the tree, in my mind's eye again, I feel like it leaned against the tree. But that might be just me and my interpretation. It's standing next to a tree. And the second thing that it did, that's good night, go home, that shouldn't be possible, is it starts bashing its head off the tree repeatedly, violently. He could hear it thudding. He could probably almost feel it thudding in his chest. And it hits its head so hard, so fast, so often that it bashed its skull in its own head. So its skull is all deformed, caved in, probably the eyes hanging out. And it just stands there in silence, complete silence, probably not even a cricket going off. And it turns its head slightly back towards him. And this is where the third thing happens. That shouldn't be possible. Good night. Let's go home. It spoke. And it said, I know you're there. What do you do when you see a deer stand up on its hind legs, walk over to a tree, bash its skull in, and then speak to you? I know you're there. And then it just walked off into the woods and it was gone. How long would it take you to get out of the tree at that point? Would you just wait for somebody to come looking for you? I would probably soil my pants, to be honest with you. So, all right, friends, that's the not deer. And if you want to check out some of those episodes, go ahead and write them down and, listen to it on your own time. Honestly, I don't know which ones are which as far as members and public, but I'm pretty sure 476 is a public episode. I believe it is. I'm not trying to, just sit here and try to sell you on all these great stories that are behind a paywall. I didn't look that up before I started talking about it, but nevertheless, I hope you enjoyed those stories and the fact that the not deer is something that people are encountering. And it's, I think it's rare, but I think there's a lot more people out there that have had encounters with the not deer than are talking about it. Because if we still have people who are having a hard time talking about Bigfoot, an upright walking deer, no. We'll keep that to ourselves, So the not deer, a just absolutely bizarre topic. Before we wind up getting out of here, because I have to go pick up my son from school here soon, I wanted to go over some of these pictures that I find very interesting. And we see things happen in waves. And we talked about it earlier today on the previous recording that will never be aired. But things happen in waves and different things in life. You have mass shootings, and when one mass shooter happens, there's copycats. And I ventured into the idea of it being MK Ultra type stuff where they say trigger words in the media, not knowing who it's going to trigger, but they know that they conditioned enough of the mass public that it's going to trigger a certain amount of them. And so once you have one triggered and they follow through on the action, there will be others to follow because it's not just one person that was triggered when you say certain words. It's a whole mass group of people that they're manipulating, and some of them get triggered by certain words and they don't know who will be triggered. It just happens. So they call it, the copycat syndrome. But even on the personal side, we have the waves happening where when I talk about something on the show, we often see the waves of email come in on that topic. Lindsay, my wife doesn't have time to listen to the show like you guys do. She's working behind the scenes, but she usually always knows what the topic for that week was because of the emails that come in, which keep them coming. We love yous. Thank you very much for that. So one thing that I'm seeing here, and we're going to pull this up, is we have black and white pictures of possible Bigfoot on game trail cam, at least on some kind of candid cam, and within a very short period of time that I think resembled the Jacobs photo from Pennsylvania. And I believe it's in 2007 when the Jacobs photo came out. I really do believe that the Jacobs photo is probably some kind of weird bear. That's just my thoughts. I could be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. I'd love for it to be a juvenile Bigfoot. But the pictures that I'm about to show you, I actually question more than the Jacobs photo. So this first image that we have here is out of North Carolina. And this picture is about a week old, I'd say. 729, about a week old. This picture was taken. If you look down on the bottom of the screen, we have a ticker right now. If Jack takes the ticker away, you'll actually see the date that this picture was taken out of North Carolina. And, you know, there's obvious things that's like makes you wonder, like, what the heck is that? You know, there's things that are off. Is it explainable? You know, maybe, but let's zoom in here and look at this thing. What I think is interesting about this is it does look like it could be manipulated unless it's leaning over weird and the spine can do things that we're not used to. And it kind of just, it's licking its side. Like if you look right here, it looks like a pointed ear. And so maybe it's a dog man. I don't know, but it looks like there's a tail right here. And, you know, if you look at this next picture that I have lined up here, it looks like a hind end of a bear to me with a tail right there. The problem with that is this down here. What is that? Bears don't have that extra hinge on the back leg, do they? I mean, I'm not an expert, but my Lord, I don't think that's a bear. So what is that? If it's not a bear, is it a Bigfoot? I don't know if we ever heard about the Bigfoot having back legs like that. But we do hear about Dogman having back legs like that. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this picture. Came out of North Carolina. Again, like I said, I think this could either be a manipulated picture where it's edited. But I think if you're going to edit a picture, to be honest with you, you might want to edit it different just for believability, maybe. I don't know. Like, when's the last time you saw something standing on its hind legs with missing its top torso or its head? But if you just look right here, like I said, it looks like pointed ears. So what if this thing was like licking its side or biting on itself and some kind of dog man? Like that's what I choose to believe. It's dog man. Anyways, I'd like to know what your thoughts are. The next picture I want to share with you, though, is from our friend Stacy Brown. He texted me last week, or he called me last week and talked to me about it. Then he texted me this picture that was sent to him out of, I think, Florida. And it's supposedly a maybe juvenile Bigfoot. So let's zoom in here. This is the raw picture that he sent me via text. He has since posted it on his Instagram, but you see a conical head here, the shoulders, an arm here, a torso, another arm here, legs here. And to me, that almost looks like a long tail right here. What do you think? Is that a long tail? A third leg? I don't know. But what I did want to do is enhance this picture. So the next picture you're going to see is the same picture, just enhanced by yours truly. And I think we did bring out more detail. So this is the next image that I have here for you. Same image, but we drew out the head more because I was kind of hoping, to be honest with you, that was some kind of bird or something. Like, oh, we solved it. It's a bird. I don't think that this solves it at all. Now, I feel like we see less of the body down here below on the bottom half. It's harder. I think it's actually harder to make it out in this picture probably because we're using less of our imagination. But the top half, you definitely see the conical head, the shoulders, and there's no neck. It just runs right into the shoulders. It looks like it has an arm here, a torso, another arm. So, you know, this happened just last week, not even a week ago. So in a week, we have two pictures that are very similar to the Jacobs photo. And are we going to see a little bit of a wave coming in when it comes to these game trail candid pictures that are being posted online of supposed Bigfoot, Dogman? You know, I don't know. But I do think that it was worth sharing with you and letting you decide what you think of it. I think that these pictures often can be left to your own interpretation. What do you see? Not saying that it's pareidolia and that you just give it to your own definition, but in all honesty, there is something there and you all should be able to give your own thoughts on it. You know, there are pictures out there that look like it could be a Bigfoot and it's actually a bird up close to the lens, making it look larger than what it actually is. And that's okay. It's okay for misidentification. It's okay if you're a believer in these things and sometimes you misidentify. But that first picture with the back legs looking like a dog man, I don't know. That might be a dog man. And why'd the dog man gift us such a great picture? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. This round of this show went way better than the first round. And so I hope you enjoyed it. The not deer, impossible Bigfoot, Dogman, bears in pictures. What do you guys think about the not deer? Is it a real phenomena? Is it people's imaginations? One thing's for sure, a lot of people are seeing the not deer. Deer that are not deer and should not exist. They are simply seeing out in the woods. Have you ever had an encounter with a not deer? Let us know. Shoot us an email if you've seen a not deer. I'd love to hear your story. Maybe we can feature it on the confessionals, whether it's the show itself, the website, or right here on Weird Wednesday. And until next Wednesday, I'll see you guys around the block. Thursday show's right around the corner. Tuesday next week, we got a heater for you. Tuesday's show next week, we have a guy here in studio who gave us two interviews, but you're only going to see one because the first one ended in dramatic fashion that he asked not to have aired, but it's okay if we talk about it. And we're probably going to play some clips so that you can see in context what actually happened right here in studio. But I, at one point, felt so threatened that I looked over at Jack, told him to cut the cameras, cut the audio. I got up, took the guns out of the office or the studio here, came back in and dealt with something that was not on my bingo card for the day. So that is next Tuesday. And then the next day after that, we'll be right here with you. Weird Wednesday wake up, hopefully a little bit earlier. Until then, I love you guys. Take care.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright. Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.